Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Merino.
Thank you, beloved. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everyone. Praise God. Hallelujah. As you're standing, if you will open your Bible with me in the Gospel of John. And everyone watching online, good morning. Thank you for being with us. The Gospel of John. We're going to take communion this morning. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29. The title of my message is The Perfect Lamb. The Perfect Lamb. And amen when you have it, church. Amen. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. And the Word of God reads, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Bible speaks of how John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him. Many believe that this was after John baptized Jesus, even after the 40 days of temptation in the wilderness. It's at this time where Jesus comes back to see John. And as you read the Word of God, how powerful the words of John the Baptist. The Bible says, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold. It is a picture of what was coming, a prophecy that was fulfilled. The agony that what the Lord Jesus Christ went through, his death on the cross for the sin of mankind. And what gets my attention is that John the Baptist, he says these words. He says, behold. Or in other words, see the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Notice the Bible does not say, behold, a great teacher. Behold, the great teacher of holiness or love. No. The Bible says that John the Baptist proclaimed Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. He says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Aren't you blessed this morning, church? That when you were lost, I was lost, or we were dead in our sin and trespasses, Christ forgave you of your sins. Christ forgave me of my sins. And notice that the Bible says, he says, the Lamb. The symbol, the picture of a sacrifice in general. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin, notice what it says, of the world. Ever since from the beginning, when sin entered this world. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Just as sin entered the world, Christ, the Lamb of God, the Bible says, who takes away the sin of the world. Now you got to remember the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God is the image of the sacrificial lamb. And it has not changed, church. If you're here this morning and you have not asked God for forgiveness of sin, he already paid the price for you. Some in the Bible, you will find that he is the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He was the animal that was slain that the Bible we read about in the book of Genesis. When sin entered once again in the Garden of Eden, what did Adam and Eve do? They covered themselves, their nakedness, with what? Because that's when sin entered. There was an animal that was slain. Then we read also how God provided for Abraham. We read in the book of Genesis, a substitute for his son Isaac. God provided the Lamb of God. How many believe that God is a provider? Amen. If he provided the Lamb of God, God can provide anything that you need and I need. In the Bible, we read that he is also the Passover Lamb for Israel. Amen. They gave Israel instructions of what to do. Amen. So that when they would see the blood, death would not come upon a home of a family. He is the Passover Lamb for Israel. And John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He did it all for you, church. He did it all for me. He took your place. He took my place. When you and I deserve to be on that cross. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What does it mean to take away? Jesus bared your sin and my sin upon him. Every sin, notice that it's not a plural, it's singular. Every sin of the world, sin of humanity, your sin, my sin, yesterday, today, and forever, came upon him. He took it all for you and for me. And the Bible says, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. As we take communion today, church, it is a beautiful reminder of what Christ did on the cross. May we never forget, even in your hardest moments, even in your failures, even when you come short, even when you sin, praise God that we have a Lamb who took away your sin and my sin. Amen. That is the reason why we believe that there is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is life in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. It says, takes away the sin of the world. What he did on the cross, the blood of the Lamb, hear me, church, has the capacity to forgive every sin and to cleanse you. Like John said, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us, purify us. What a blessing, church. What a blessing that even when guilt wants to come or anything, that you can go to the Lord and know that he paid it all for you and for me. That you and I have access to the throne of grace, the Bible says. And the Bible says that you and I can go with confidence. With confidence. Why? Because he did it all for you. He paid the penalty. He paid the price for you and me. And that is the reason why that we now have that liberty. We have that confidence. Amen. We don't have to worry about, you know, if he's going to hear me, if he's going to be present. We already know the Bible says, let us come. He says, let us come forward with confidence to the throne of grace and obtain, the Bible says, obtain mercy and find grace in time of help. There is power, church. And he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. I believe it's 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Chapter 15. Look at the words of Paul. Let's look at verse 1. Are you with me? He says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, the good news, which I preach to you. So this is a message that Paul would preach or had preached to them, which also you received, and look what he says, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, salvation, if you hold fast that word which I preach to you. Notice what he says. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Now look at verse 3. This is where I want to read, focus right, verse 3 and 4. He says, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also receive. How important it is, church. In order for you to deliver to someone, you have to receive first. That is the reason why, church, we have the good news. We have the good news. Amen? We don't got the bad news. We got the good news. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no one can take away what you have experienced when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. when you repented of your sins and God came into your life and he forgave you of your sins, no one can take away that from you. Because you received, and because you received, you experienced, now you can deliver. And he says that Christ died for our sins. How many believe that? He says, according to the scriptures. Verse 4. And that he was buried. He was buried. See, many other gods or other gods that people worship or put their faith or their trust in, they are still buried. But see, our God, our Messiah, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Provider, our Healer, our Righteousness, the Bible says, and that he rose again the third day. Amen. He rose again the third day. The tomb is empty, church. Amen. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And the Bible says, look what he writes. He says, and that he was seen by Cephas, Peter. Wow. After he rose from the dead on the third day, the Bible says he was seen by Cephas. Then, the Bible says, by the 12. See, that's why you and I, church, we are beyond blessed. We are privileged to be children of God. Amen? That we are children of God. That we have eternal life. We have salvation. We have forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. We are secure. We have eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We have forgiveness. Praise God. We have healing. God gives us provision. Hallelujah. We're not alone. God is with us at all times. Hallelujah. We don't have fear. We have peace. Hallelujah. We have health. Hallelujah. Even when we trip, we get up and we continue to persevere because of the grace of God that keeps me going, to keep moving forward and praising and worshiping God. Hallelujah. That's why this morning, church, we praise God. The Bible says, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And not only was he seen by Cephas or the 12, the Bible says, verse 6, after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present. He says, but some had fallen asleep or have died to be with the Lord. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. God is faithful, church. When you look at the life of Paul, previously his name was Saul. The man who went against the church of Christ. He persecuted the church of Christ. Saul. He hated Christians, believers. But not knowing, I'm believing that the church was praying for him. Now, let me encourage you a little bit. If God was able to save Paul, someone who came against the body of Christ, don't you think God can save any one of your loved ones? Amen. Even those who might not even come against the church, but God can touch them. They can have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It could be at the hospital. It can be at prison. It could be at the market store. It could be wherever God wants you. God is mighty and powerful to get a hold of someone and for that person to have a divine encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, where God can cleanse them right there. God can change them, turn them around, and set them free and become a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I like this, church. When you read in the New Testament, Hebrews, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, if they'll put that up, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. It reads, but this man, hallelujah, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, but this man, after he had offered, look what he says. It doesn't say many. You don't have to, no, it's just one. He says, after he had offered one sacrifice. That's why the title is The Perfect Lamb. One sacrifice, church. After he had offered one sacrifice, what does it say? For sins, what does it say? Forever. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is, church. One sacrifice. He did it all. You know that the reason why we confess our sins, church? It's not that we confess them so that Christ can go back to the cross. No, he already paid the penalty. It's just to remove the guilt in your life. That when we confess, we do it in faith. What Jesus, not that he's going to do, what he already did. And it only took one sacrifice. And I love that the Bible says, for sins forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. And the Bible then says, this is where he seals it. He says, sat down at the right hand of God. He sat down. Rest. He did it all. See, I don't understand why sometimes, with all due respect, there is no priest. There is no pastor. There is no man who we confess our sins to for forgiveness of sin. Christ did it all. The perfect Lamb of God. One sacrifice. And the Bible says he was the perfect Lamb of God. No blemish, no spots. He was the perfect, pure Lamb of God and took the sins away, your sins, my sins. That is the reason why, church, this morning we celebrate that we are forgiven. We are forgiven. And when you go to the Old Testament, church, even the prophets, when you read the book of Psalms, even when you read Proverbs, when you read Isaiah, let me give you an example. They were already proclaiming of what the future was of that perfect Lamb of God. The forgiveness of sins. I'm going to give you two examples and I'm done. Isaiah 43:25 says this. I, he says, even I, look what the Bible says, am he, God speaking, who blots out your transgressions. He says, for my own sake. And look what he says, and I will not remember your sins. Aren't you thankful that God forgives us our sins and not man? Man loves to dig them out to remind you. Well, you did this, you did that, but praise God, the Bible says, I will not remember your sins. Let me give you another example real quick. In the Old Testament, the book of Micah, chapter 7, verse 19, it says, he will again have compassion on us. How many are grateful that God is a compassionate God? See, let me say this real quick. I'm going to put this in there. Whenever you hear about things happening, church, in the world, it's the people that do not want to repent of their sins, that they don't want nothing with God, or they say that God doesn't exist, or that we serve an evil God. But church, I'm here to tell you that we serve a good God. I would worry if I didn't have the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But when you reject Jesus, you reject God, you reject everything he did for you on the cross, be careful. Judgment does come. See, judgment already came upon who? Upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, Micah 7:19, he says, he will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. Look what he says. You will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. They're thrown in the sea. Now, I'm not preaching this morning, just in case you're thinking that I'm preaching about freedom, that you could live in sin, you could do what you want. I'm not talking about that. I'm just being real with you that God does forgive our sins. When you repent, you ask for forgiveness, it comes from your heart, he forgives you. Amen? But I want you to go this morning with that freedom that God is true to his word. In matter of fact, there shouldn't be no condemnation in God's children. If anything, the Holy Spirit will do, he will convict you or touch your heart. Remind you that you're going on the wrong direction, the wrong path, and that you should go this direction, the way of Jesus. The only way, like the Bible says. Because Jesus, let me remind you, church, Jesus is still the truth. He is still the way. Did you hear me? He is still the only way. And no one can go to the Father except by Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at etngchurch.com.